Here we are, and we're talking about this righteousness that God has done in Jesus Christ, healing the broken relationship with God, and that involves turning from idolatry. And then the symptoms remediate. Have you ever heard someone preach anything like this? I'm not so far out on a limb that I'm experimenting with a new idea. Do you feel in you that there's a holy moment worth recognizing as we talk about this idea? That it's the relationship with God that leads to fruit. That is spiritual fruit. And it is the absence of a relationship with God that leads to fruit that shows you and Him are not together in this. That shows you are following your own will and your own way and what seems right to you, and it isn't. That's the teaching of Scripture. When you're connected to God, we bear spiritual fruit. When we're severed from God through idolatry, we bear fruit of the carnal nature. Our sinful flesh does whatever you call it. And I'm getting to the point now where I think it is a sin of Christians to say there are differentiated sins and some are worse than others and this is bad but that's worse, because I feel like there's minority sins that get a kick, a harsh treatment by prideful people that ought not be throwing rocks because they live in glass houses. And God hates pride. Whatever banner you're waving, whatever color your flag, God hates pride. And there's all of this going on in here. And it's because of this that Paul is preaching the gospel. In it, the justification of God is revealed. No guilty person can answer for themselves. We cannot justify our actions. When we're measured for rightness or justice or righteousness or innocence, if we're measured by this, we fail. Because we're idolaters and we need to stop worshiping outside of relationship with God, we worship idols. Now, maybe you don't worship a calf. Maybe you don't have a golden calf set up at home. And you may not bow down before your television or your iPad, right? But what if we have exchanged the truth about God for a lie? And worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever? Do we live for ourselves? Are we committed to the natural, the practical, the carnal nature? Ignoring God, do we turn away for any portion of our lives to live what we want that steers us away from what we know about how God is? In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus answered, quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." And Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." The whole list. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. But when you read Romans chapter 1 for the rest of your life, will you please with me recognize that Paul said, the gospel is the power of God because the wrath is poured out. Don't go there. You can't read Romans chapter 1 and hear, God is big, and that's why the wrath is coming on all these people, and they deserve it. It's a wrong reading of Scripture. Paul is admonishing people, come, because God is the powerful God, and His gospel is salvation to everyone whose head is on the block. P.S., it's you. Habakkuk spoke to people like you and me, and Paul is speaking to us today. This is the stuff. Be saved. Be saved from what's coming, and we're all in the same boat. Wow. That's gospel preaching this morning. The way to deal with the symptoms is to cure the illness. Nobody here wants to be taking aspirins to stop a pain in your head that's a brain tumor. Nobody. Nobody wants to mask the pain in order to ignore the illness. And Paul says, get right to the core of the problem. The illness is our broken relationship with God. The illness is idolatry. The illness is the fact that we do not know Him. And the symptoms are endless. I don't care about the lists anymore. I mean, I'll measure, and if I see things coming out of me that are on that list, I'll say, what's wrong with me? But the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. God is calling us not to rail against the symptoms, but to minister to the need we have, the need that others have, to repent of sin and return to God. And so, Lord, we leave it there, and we say, we don't want to wander so far from You that we don't recognize in our hearts when suddenly we've turned left and You're not there with us. We don't want to visit sin so repeatedly, like Samson, a little bit and a little bit, that when the Spirit of God had left him, he did not realize it. That's so tragic, Lord. We spent all this time talking about being filled with the Spirit and knowing God and being holy and being saints and being called and being chosen people and the power of God for salvation in the gospel that establishes these truths. And I pray, Lord, that in our discussion with any other person, it would just be to know the Lord, and to come to Him. And that the Holy Spirit dwelling in a believer will draw their attention to all the stuff. And that the Scriptures are there to inform us, but help us to not be the bull chasing the red cape. Help us to not be so distracted by symptoms that we fail to look at the illness and fail to address the idolatry of it, Lord. Will You deliver us from sin? Will You bring us so close into relationship with You that we know You, like sheep follow the shepherd's voice? And we ask Your blessing upon us. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that You would fill us. And we trust that God does these things. And we commit ourselves to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank You for Your time.